The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening, wherever you are.
I'm Shia.
I'm Ariel.
And the name of the show is Being Here.
You didn't do it right, Daddy.
That's the
theme.
The theme of the show. You know, I'm a dad.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it right. You know, my dad didn't do it right either.
His dad didn't do it either.
No, his dad didn't do it
right. No, not right. No, no. When you're playing the right-wrong game, you will always lose. Your dad cannot have done it right. You have proof.
Not right enough if you're gathering evidence to prove he did it wrong. Anyway, and we know he did it wrong, because all dads do. Except your best friend's dad, of course. He was perfect.
Or someone else's.
Right.
Unless you forgive yourself, you forgive them, and your life transforms, and then there's a whole other possibility.
But I think we need to talk about listening first.
Okay.
Because if we don't talk about listening, people will disagree with what we're saying.
Well, a lot of people are like, nah, my dad did it right.
Exactly.
That is not listening.
So our definition of truly listening is hearing what another person has to say as though their point of view is perfect, as though they are absolutely right in their point of view, where you don't disagree or agree, but hear what another person has to say. Now, that's our definition of true listening. Now, if you do that, your life will transform, and I'll tell you why. Because if you can listen without commenting in your head, without interpreting what the speaker is saying, without saying, oh, in other words, or, oh, I know this already. But if you can hear their point of view and actually let it in directly, you'll get into real time, into the current moment of your life. And that's where transformation happens. It isn't a doing, it's a happening. I like that.
Shia and I were talking about it this week, how there really are age gaps. Like, they're different age groups cannot necessarily think the same. So the perspective of my parents were also included in that, where the life circumstances that were happening and the world circumstances that
were
happening.
In that generation.
And in my generation, in the generation of our kids, in the generation of our grandkids, everything has a different current going along with it. So today,
we're going to talk about parenting. And we have a couple of parents who will join us on the show. Daddies, actually.
Daddies who will give a perspective about a transformational lifestyle where they've discovered well-being in themselves and how to have well-being with their fathers.
And their children. And they both have boys as well.
And girls.
One has girls.
Yeah, so well. Here we go, onward. Which shall we take first? We have both of them. We'll have them both come on, but let's start with one.
How about Andrew, because Andy, because that begins with A.
All right, we'll start with the A. Andy Gideon, a longtime friend of ours, has two boys, and you can tell us about them. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
Tell me. Well, I have two boys, as you mentioned. They are 10 and 13, 13, almost 14. I'm sorry, 10-year-old is closer to 11, and the 13-year-old is turning 14 a little bit after that. So I've been dealing with preteens and teens for a number of years now. Not sure what else to say about them by way of introduction.
Well, what about you by way of introduction? What do you do in your real world job?
Oh, okay. My wife and I own an internet and web hosting company. We put people and companies up on the internet. We build websites. We handle social media. We build applications that companies use to run their businesses on the internet. And I said my wife and I, we work together. The two of us have our business together. We actually, in our office building, we share an office, so we're physically in the same room a lot. And we're partners. And that actually has a lot to do with our parenting style, and how we interact with our kids, because we're partners in business, we're partners in life, we're also partners in parents. And I imagine that that's something to which we'll come back, because being partners is a key component to being parents.
Excellent.
Well, that leads me to ask, how do you see that?
Well, you've been a parent. You may have noticed that kids can occasionally work to play parents against one another.
Yes.
It happens occasionally, sometimes.
Each day.
On a moment-by-moment basis, it pretty much happens all the time. One of them will ask for something, and maybe my 10-year-old Aiden will ask me for something, and if I say no, then he'll go to Amy. Or Alex might ask Amy something, and she may say no, and he'll come to me. We work to make sure that situations like that cannot be exploited, that whenever our kids are facing some sort of choice that we've made or some sort of action that we've taken, that they both know all the time, even if one of us did it, even if one of us said it, even if the other one wasn't around, it is both of us.
That's cool.
That's very cool. Let's now include
Dave Stern.
Dave in the mix. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family, Dave.
Sure. It is a pleasure to be here.
Thanks.
I'm also a computer engineer, and I have three kids. I have a son who is almost 3 years old, and I have twin daughters who are around a year old. Me and my wife, we have had our share of surprises. First, getting twins, and then kind of learning how to navigate life with three very young children. Having known you guys for a long time, and going to your workshops and your Monday night seminars, and listening to the radio show and reading your books, it's just been, I just wanted to say it's been a tremendous, tremendous, invaluable help and resource in allowing us to be not only sane during this time, but also really thriving and having our kids thrive. They're all doing well. And, one thing that we've learned from you guys is they're a barometer of how we're doing. When our kids are doing well, we know that all is well in our family. And, so that's my introduction.
Cool. I have a question, actually, for either one of you. I imagine that some time ago, and I believe I can recall it, you both had different attitudes about your dads that either they were annoying or they were wrong and you had proof, and things are different now. So how was it? How is it? And how did you get here? Who wants to go first?
I'll go. This is Dave. When I first met you guys, which was many years ago, I was raised mostly by my father. My mother died when I was relatively young. And, we did not get along very well for most of that time. And, there was a period right before I met you guys where I actually was not speaking to him because I thought he had done everything wrong and he was the reason why my life wasn't working. And you know, I really started, being honest with myself and bringing awareness to my life through transformation. And I really started to have compassion for myself, which as a parent has been incredibly useful, but I started to have compassion for him and how he did it. And this was long before I had kids, which added a whole other aspect to having compassion for my dad. And we did not get along at all. And what very quickly happened was I would talk to him. He lived across the country from me. I would talk to him on the phone, and the fights we used to have, we didn't have anymore because I was listening. I wasn't looking to make him wrong for everything he said. I was actually hearing what he said without preconceived ideas or without trying to find the holes in his arguments or what he would say. And
so let me stop you there for a second.
Much easier and much more fluid and more loving. And I can say it's been mostly like that for the last couple of decades. It's been great. And that's made both of our lives really much easier. And then when I became a parent, that made things much easier to deal with my kids because I could have compassion for myself and for him as a father.
Excellent. I have a feeling you didn't hear Shai a moment ago. I sometimes with cell phones, it's like a one way or another.
Yeah, I don't.
It came and went.
Yeah, it came.
That's because we're listening to you.
I'm listening to you, but something you said caught me.
It'll come back.
Yeah. Oh, it was about how you, as a kid, found everything your father did wrong, no matter what he did.
Right.
You know, like he couldn't do it right enough for you.
Right. Exactly.
And you see, like most of us determine our identity as people and in resistance to our parents. And so what they say, the opposite of that, apparently gives you some independence rather than they may have some good stuff to tell you. You know, it's amazing to me how kids are so arrogant. They think they know and they're so sophomoric. But it's taken me 3/4 of a century to realize that.
I know we have the question. I'll just go to
Andy
for a minute. I'm curious, Andy, what was your earlier perspective? What is it now? And how did you get here?
Well, as Dave described, a lot of the change in my relationship with my dad started long before we had kids. It really centers more around the work that I've done with you guys, because I've been working with you for quite a few years before we had kids. Just as you said, I blamed my father for the awful life I had. The problem is, after working with you guys, it became very difficult to maintain that perspective of blaming him for the awful life I had, because the life I had wasn't awful. I was actually very happy, and I was enjoying my life, and things were going incredibly well. And, well, how do you blame somebody for that?
Well, it also gets inconvenient, because if life is going really well and all of those things your dad, quote, did wrong led you to here, that's kind of inconvenient.
Yes, it was inconvenient.
To the story.
To be honest, to to a great degree, I did try to ignore that. You know, I had a good relationship with my dad at that point, but I never really went so far as to forgive him in my mind. I sort of ignored my previous perspective. I just tried to not pay attention to it. And it was when I had kids that I suddenly realized that I couldn't even maintain that kind of indifference. And because what you said a few moments ago about Shia, you said that our fathers have a lot to offer. That's incredibly true. If you had asked me before we had kids, you know, which of the grandparents would be better off at taking care of the kids, I would automatically have said my mother. But over the years, my dad has spent more time with our kids than my mom has, just because that's how the logistics have worked out. But it's been wonderful. It's been great for him, but it's also been great for them. And in fact, his time with them has also been terrific for Amy and myself, because it's strange. He just has a consistency about him and a strength about him that I find really brings the kids to center in a way that we don't quite have yet, and it's a pleasure to watch that, but it's also a pleasure to experience that with all three of them, with the two boys and my dad. And so it's very true what you said, that there's an incredible amount that our dads have to offer, and I really appreciate that working with you guys has made me open enough to recognize and accept and even welcome that.
Well, thank you for the acknowledgement. We appreciate that. And that being said, we have to go to a break now. So we'll come back. And
we'll be back with our special guests, Dave Stern and Andy Gideon. We'll be back shortly, everyone.
So come on back.
And don't miss being here.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back.
We are coming soon to Cambridge, England for the Art of Being Happy seminars, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
That's a really good one for England. I haven't seen that many happy folks there. So we're going to do our best to bring some happiness there. And if you're living in England or anywhere in Europe and would rather be happier than you find yourself being most of the time, why don't you come join us and discover that being happy is a true art form.
And you know, every year when we go there, lots of people come over from the States. People fly in from Hong Kong, from Australia, New Zealand. No place is too far. It is a beautiful, beautiful city. And if you would like to join us, you are welcome. In New York City, the next course there is in July, also toward the end of July, the 29th, 30th, and 31st. We're doing creativity and intuition, and that is such a valuable art form in itself.
Did we say at the start of this show, at the top of this show, that we finish each other's sentences?
I don't know, but we do.
So just in case we do, I don't want to offend people.
By the way, if you're listening to this show from the archives, just go up to our schedule at transformationmadeeasy.com and look and see
what's available, because our current workplace, our current workshops will be there for you to see what will work for you.
And by the way, transformationmadeeasy.com, if you go up there and see our website, it is beautiful. And that is one of the websites produced, designed, hosted, and in all ways administrated by Tag Online, which is Andy Gideon's web company with his lovely, lovely wife, Amy. So a little plug for you, too. I love, you were talking about letting go of your story, Andy, about who your dad was, and that was really particularly
But before
moving.
Yes, it was. Before we go further, I to let go of that story, you had to do something called forgive. You had to be willing to forgive your father for being who he was, but more importantly, you had to forgive yourself for the point of view that you had as a child about who your father was. Because, originally, now this is very interesting. We got two different fathers here. One has an infant, or three infants.
Young toddler to infants.
Right. And the other has pre-teenagers or teenage to pre-teenage years now. But when you were their dad, in the first years of their life, they held you as a hero. They were excited to see you. You were not dad. You were bigger than life. You were special. You were their hero. They wait for you to come home. Right, Dave?
I was going to say that ends. Yes.
What was that?
I'm sorry, Dave. Ends? Yes.
Oh, it does end. Doesn't it, Andy?
Yes, it does.
And that's the shame of it all. In the growing up process, kids learn from other kids that their father isn't their best friend.
I recall there was a time, Andy, you said there were a couple stages with your kids where when you would have rules that they didn't like, such as to brush their teeth at night or go to bed at a certain time, that they eventually developed the perspective of it's not fair or you're mean.
Or who are you to dictate the rules to me? How come you get to make up the rules?
Yes, that does still happen, even at 10 and 13. But I have to admit that I try to have fun with it. Knowing that that's happening, I try to not just go with it, but to find ways to enjoy it. And what I also do is I engage the boys in it. Like, for some reason, conversations with his peers and whatnot, my 10-year-old Aiden has decided that, parents are all serious and mean and they can't be funny. And we were on going off on a trip a while ago, and we were having a conversation pretty much about that, and he was accusing me of never being funny. And, I didn't argue against it. I simply went with it. But then I simply started pointing out all of the times when he's laughing because of something that I've said or something that I've done. I ignore the times when he's laughing at me. I'm talking about when he's laughing with me. And this has been going on now, I don't know, for a number of months, and it's become a joke between the two of us, because he'll laugh, and then he'll laugh again, knowing exactly what I would say. I don't even have to point it out anymore. So maybe I'm being excessively hopeful, but I'm kind of going with this idea that if I keep making it, if I don't try to hide it or hide from it, if I don't try to fight it, if I simply make it a part of the generic game that is our life, that maybe they won't fall into any sort of deep trap of seriously or taking any of this seriously. Maybe they'll take it as unseriously as I do.
Currently.
Yeah, that's absolutely, because this is not the way I saw it before.
Right. But you see, I'm afraid that they are going to have to go through what you went through.
Okay.
And I think you'll be a better father if you let them rather than try to protect them from it.
This goes back to what Shia was saying earlier about allowing yourself to forgive yourself for the perspective that you have.
Had as a child.
You know, I don't know if you recall, I don't know where your boys are in this era. I know that Dave's kids are too young to be in this stage. But I do recall as a kid being really disgusted at the idea that I would ever kiss a boy. Or that, you know, there goes that, like, oh, you know, boys, they're awful. Or girls, who wants to be with them? There's that growing up stage. It's a normal adolescent, young thing. And if I were to be hard on myself for having had that perspective, I would never have the relationship I have now. So when you're looking at your attitudes toward your fathers, I don't believe if you don't forgive yourself for those attitudes you had before, that includes allowing your kids to have those attitudes and not think it means anything as part of the growing process.
That's very true. And you said earlier that I had to... that we have to forgive our fathers, but more forgive ourselves. It's very true. And sometimes, you know, we think we're done with that, and then there's a reminder, you know, one of the boys will do something that very much reminds me of how I was at a younger age, the perspective that I had, and I have to re-remind myself that, yes, I was like that, and yes, it's okay to forgive myself again for that, because, you know, that is very much a natural part of how I grew up.
Yes, but you're going to have to see if you can stretch yourself to discover how to forgive them for being kids, too.
Yes.
Because they are going to fall into the trap of being a child.
Oh, that's, yes, they do. I simply try as much as I can, and it doesn't always work, but I try as much as I can to make a game out of it, to make it easier for all of us. And it may accomplish nothing, but if nothing else, I'm having a little extra fun with it.
Excellent.
Good. What about you, Dave?
There was in this conversation, it occurred to me there's an aspect of forgiveness and compassion for myself that I find really liberating as a parent, which, you know, our society, at least where I am in New York and the United States, there's, and I'm sure this is true everywhere in the world, there's a great deal of pressure to be a certain kind of parent, whatever that is. There's other parents that you see in, you know, with your kids in school or in play groups. There's things you read in the media. There's an idea of how you should be, or ideas actually, and these I think create more pressure. The ideas that I have of either ways I should be a parent if I'm resisting how my parents raised me, or trying to emulate someone. And what that would lead to for me is this pressure to do it. I would always be checking in to see if my parenting style was fit to the correct dictates of my mind. And by having this aspect of compassion and realizing that with all the thoughts I had about how my father did it wrong, I turned out great. I'm having a great life. My kids are going to have the same experience. They're going to turn out great. So I can rest easy. I can have compassion for myself if I have a moment like, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or I should have done this with my kids. I can let that go very quickly because I know that it's kind of a paradox, right? You can't do it right, but you can't do it wrong. They're going to turn out okay as long as I'm there and giving them attention and being the most attentive parent I can be. So I find that aspect of forgiveness really takes a lot of pressure off me.
in hidden in what you just said, Dave, is the three principles of instantaneous transformation, which we haven't touched on yet in this particular episode of Being Here, which I think is really something to circle around to, because you're talking about noticing something you did or didn't do and forgiving yourself. So the first principle is anything you resist
or don't forgive yourself for
or judge yourself for sticks around, it grows stronger. It follows you everywhere and it's like an umbrella over all your actions. So what you resist or judge in yourself or in your father, for instance,
sticks around
and dominates your life. That's the first principle.
The second principle is you can only be exactly as you are in the current moment of your life. You can't be sitting somewhere else other than where you are. You can't have a different family than you do. You can't have be in a different country than you're in. Your life circumstances are what they are in current time and this moment of now. And that being said, your life has been an unfolding and could only have happened the way it did, including having the parents you have. Or didn't have.
Right.
I remember once being on a fishing trip in Alaska with Ariel, and our guide was there complaining that his father wasn't there for him. And his mother was a drug abuser, and he had such a terrible childhood. And I looked and I said, but man, you are here in Alaska, you're fishing, you're
in this beautiful, beautiful habitat, and you're dragging that in and ruining this moment with that story.
But the truth of the matter is, if you didn't go through all that, you wouldn't be here right now, because one thing has led to the next. One moment, one perfect moment of now has led to the next perfect moment of now, and it's all perfect in this moment.
Which leads us to the third principle.
Which is anything you see and allow to be exactly as it is completes itself. So if you see how you behaved as a child without adding energy to it, without resisting it, without encouraging it as the reasons why you are the way you are, but just see it, it's over. Then you have carte blanche. You have a free past to live your life newly in this moment with the history having no power over you at all.
And forgive in the dictionary is to give up the right to punish and the desire to punish. And that's really happens with awareness. When you see things without judging, they complete themselves.
Yes. And most parents fall into the trap of trying to raise their children differently than their parents did. And that really can screw a kid up.
We were over at your house, Dave. I can't recall
when. Was it New Year's Day?
But your twins had a habit of sleeping at different times. Hats off to all parents who had to go through sleepless nights just because we were born.
Yeah, fortunately, we're coming to the end of that. They're starting to sleep at the same time, but
It's an incredible, you know, as kids, we don't imagine the incredible load we put on our parents.
No.
All we know is that they're mean, they're unfair, and they're not doing what we want.
And they're our servants.
Where's my candy? When we come back, we're going to go to a break fairly shortly. When we come back, I would love it if each of you could look at things that you did or attitude changes or how you approached your dads that have made a difference in your life, their life, and your ability to have
parents.
A family of your own.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break now.
We'll be back shortly, everyone.
So come on back
and
don't miss Being Here.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on being here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back to Being Here.
Want to thank our listeners.
Yes.
Shout out to our listeners from Brazil, Japan,
Hong Kong,
and Mexico. You know, kind of bopping around the world there.
Yes.
We really appreciate you. Wherever you're listening to our show from, thanks for being a part of the Being Here transformational community.
And our book, newest book, the fifth one we've written, called Practical Enlightenment, is now available in German and Spanish.
As well as English. So, you know, all the books are great support structure. So feel free to go on Amazon or come to one of our seminars and pick up a copy of whichever cover attracts you.
Yeah.
Germany in Hamburg, we're going there in October, just to give you a heads up in advance. We're doing a couple courses there, the Freedom to Breathe on October 6th, and A Life Full of Joy, Every Moment Counts on the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And you are invited. We have our special guests, Andy Gideon and also Dave Stern. And when we last left the segment, we mentioned that we'd love to hear how they treat their dads now, or things that have happened for them that have affected their ability to parent. So who wants to go first?
I'll go. This is Andy.
Okay.
You asked that earlier, and over the break I was thinking about it. I remember it was so important. It touched everything in my life that I had to prove to my dad, not just one thing. I had to prove lots of different things. I had to prove that I was, separate from him and different from him. I had to prove that I was right and he was wrong. I had to prove that I knew better, even though he obviously had far more experience. I had to prove, I had to prove to him. And I was thinking about that because I look at my relationship with him now, and I would never have been able to ask him for help. I could never ask for help from him. I couldn't ask for help from him. I couldn't ask him questions. I couldn't do anything that would admit that he knew better. And that's so different from how it is now. And I've come to really appreciate conversations with him pretty much about anything, because his perspective is very different from mine. You mentioned earlier that people grow up in different eras, and that, if nothing else, that's made him a different person than I am. And then, you know, we have all our different life experiences, and his perspective is, it always adds to what I'm thinking about a situation, or how I would approach a problem, or what I think we need to do. I hadn't thought about this before you asked the question, but that's been a tremendous shift in my life and in my relationship with my dad.
Cool. How about you, Dave?
Yeah, I had an experience with my dad that was really a great moment and shifted a lot of things in my life, and it involved you guys. You know, growing up, my dad used to take me to all kinds of different sporting events, baseball games and football games and hockey games, which, by the way, is something that I conveniently forgot when I was upset with him and thought he was a terrible person.
Love that.
And so, sorry, yes?
I just love that. I just got to pause you for a second.
Yeah, you know, how you as a child conveniently forget all of the things that your parents did or ways they tried to support you and things you were interested in.
Big and small, from making all the meals so you didn't starve to taking you to games. You definitely forget that when you have a vendetta, but please keep going. I love it.
Yeah. And you know, as a parent, I now realize how much time and effort and money and energy that takes. My dad isn't very mobile now, but a few years ago when he was, I used to go visit him every year, and I would take him to a football game. And we would sit at the game, and he would, after every play, he'd say, I didn't get that. Who was that? Who did that? And I found myself getting really annoyed at this. I thought it was just really annoying. And I came to a Monday night workshop that you guys have in New York City, and I talked about it. And you guys suggested being attentive to what he needs, anticipating it, and handling it for him or taking care of him by telling him before he asks the question. And I found this to be like a revolutionary thing for me, not only with him, but in other areas of my life. So with him, if I felt he needed, you know, obviously at a football game, I could say, hey, by the way, that was so-and-so, and here's what just happened. But also, if I just felt he needed to hear from me, I could pick up the phone and call before he had to ask. And in a way, it was a responsibility. It became sort of a responsibility because if I knew he was going to need that, and it was sort of, if I let it happen, it was sort of an excuse to get annoyed at him. But if I could be attentive and take care of him before it happened, our whole relationship changed. It went a lot more smoothly. And I find that really translates to my kids. I can, if I'm really giving them my full attention, I can anticipate what they need before they get upset, before they get cranky, and before they even know that it's an issue. So I would say that's one of the number one things I've learned, both about being a son and being a parent.
I really love that whole idea that you unitask when you're with your kids or with your father so that you're there for them when you're there. You're not thinking about your fantasy football game or some other such.
So that neither group, your parents or your kids, have to pull on you for your attention. It's something that's given freely, and it's about taking care of them as opposed to, what about me? I want you to take care of me.
Yeah, and I find in the long run, it's just from a practical standpoint, it's so much easier. It's so easy to give a little bit of attention when it's needed. I mean, I think we all give a lot of attention, but to just give a little bit when it's needed saves so much trouble or mischief down the road.
Yeah, but it isn't giving a little bit of attention. It's giving attention before it's needed.
And fully as if it's your idea and your most favorite thing you'd be doing, not that you'd prefer to do it, but you're going to get this out of the way.
Yes.
Because I know that when you're with your dad, because we know you clearly, Dave, and when you're with your kids, that you're really being with them. You were describing what it was like to play with your son in the snow, and the snowdrift was taller than him, and you could pick him up and toss him, and it was a wild, exciting, laughter-producing thing. You didn't toss him into the snow and pick him up and do it again over and over in order to get it over with. It wasn't like, okay, you get 15 minutes and then I get to have my life. And the reason we're pointing that out is we don't want listeners to misunderstand you and think it's about getting it out of the way because it's more convenient, when that's not what you're intending to say.
Right. Well, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, those times, this is Andy, those times when we're giving attention, whether it's to my dad or to my boys. I love the description of being tossed into the snow, tossing into the snow. That's awesome. And giving attention like that, it is so easy if you let yourself to really enjoy those experiences and take so much pleasure out of them. I brought one of my sons to the doctor. We went just a couple of days ago. And, you know, in one sense, it was a very mundane thing, but it was so nice to be able to be with one another, and just because it was something that we had to do together, because he needs someone to take him and he needed to go, and to just enjoy one another's time. He had his phone with him, for example, and it's so easy for anybody nowadays to just dive into a phone and you know, watch a video or play a game, and he didn't. He was enjoying it as much as I did, and it was just, I just love the experiences that come out of paying that kind of attention.
That's great.
You got Shia smiling here, both you guys. It's like I'm looking at his face. It's such a pleasure to know that you have translated for yourself your well-being, and it goes forward and back in time.
But I have another piece of the action.
Mm-hmm.
See, I believe that you guys have learned how to bring your attention and awareness to what you're about in all aspects, including and especially with your wives.
That is absolutely true. And I kind of wanted to echo what Andy said, and we learned this from you. And I remember when the topic came up with Andy and Amy, and me and my wife took it to heart. We really, in our relationship, we pay attention to one another, we listen to one another, and we're a team with our kids. You know, if I know that she told him something and I'm not sure what it was, and he asked me, I'll say whatever mommy said. That's what the decision is. So we're a team in that regard, but it's also because we're a team, and we listen to each other everywhere else as well, and at work, and like you said, Shia, every aspect of my life.
Yeah. And that, you know, that seems difficult in a way for most people. But, you know, there are corrosive elements in our world that undermine relationship. Like, there are people who try to enroll you in a war against women, and your wives in a war against men, and a lot of them are married.
Yes, there are a lot of people out proving that relationship does not work. I mean, and again, it applies to parent-child, and it absolutely applies to husband-wife.
Well, it doesn't work unless you bring awareness to how you are being and bring awareness to how you're going about your life. So that, and I don't mean it judgmentally, I mean just seeing it without judging it, seeing it and notating how it is that you behave so you don't push their buttons unnecessarily, so you don't make their life difficult intentionally or unintentionally. But I find that it's always intentional.
Yeah, it's funny when you're talking about this, Shai, about how it works well with, and that there are corrosive elements, because just this week I was speaking with a lady who's traditionally, not now, but traditionally had a very contentious relationship with her father, and I'm planning an event with some friends. We're going to go shopping nearby at a consignment store. A couple of the guys are coming over here, but and they're not going along because they'd be bored, because there's nothing really there for the men to do, and no place even in the store for them to sit. And Shia was on the phone with me, and we were all discussing it, but she kept wanting him to go away, that he was, like, irritating. This was a girl's thing. Why is he intruding on our time? And when she realized after Shai mentioned that he was feeling very excluded, she looked back and realized that this is She had fallen into an old way of relating to men because it was how she related to her dad, and she apologized because it's so easy to X out somebody in your current life as if they're not doing it right because they are a template for how you think your dad didn't do it wrong.
Did it right.
Didn't do it right.
And, oh, by the way, all our listeners out there, your dad didn't do it wrong.
He was perfect.
In every way. You chose him.
You know, if we...
Now, you may not like hearing that, but hey, so what?
Well, if you go back to what Andy said about how it was really inconvenient to be happy because then he had to admit...
That his parents did it right.
You know, there are no happy victims, that's for sure. We have about a minute left of the show. Is there anything either one of you want to say by way of closing?
I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to be here, but also for, you know, the life I have as a parent and as a son and as a husband and as a person. I learned a lot of it, most of it from you guys, how to be happy, and I appreciate that. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
And I'll echo that. The life that I have now is amazing, and it would be nothing like that if we had not met you guys.
And both of these guys have invested in themselves. They've invested in coming to evenings, weekends, Costa Rica. There's a very few spaces left in Costa Rica. If you want to join us in an immersion course into the brilliance of you, you can find that on our website.
TransformationMadeEasy.com. We're running out of time.
Next week's show is Mind the Gap. We'll be back next week and let you know what that means.
That's right.
So come on back.
And don't miss being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.